Welcome to the very first episode of the Syneos Health Podcast. That's right, we have a new name. I'm your host, Jeff Stewart from Syneos Health Consulting. Today we have something special. Two episodes we're dropping back to back. Both of today's podcasts are on naming. In this episode, I'll be talking about naming and branding with Addison Whitney, about life sciences companies. How do you name and brand a life science company? The other episode we released today, we'll be talking about the ins and outs of naming a drug. Check them both out. Naming a pharma company, next. Joe Daly, Kristen Spensieri, welcome to the Syneos Health Podcast.
Thank you, Jeff. It's great to be with you.
Thanks, Jeff. Looking forward to the conversation.
What do you guys do at the company? I know, but what do you do?
I'm the president of Addison Whitney. Addison Whitney is a branding organization that focuses primarily in the healthcare space, although we do dip into technology and consumer packaged goods. And I've been with what is now Syneos Health for the better part of 20 years.
I'm Kristen Spensieri. I'm the global head of corporate communications and marketing for Syneos Health. We represent the brand in all facets, whether that be external relations, employee engagement. And I, too, have been here for around two decades, previously coming from one of our corporate reputation agencies as part of the commercial solutions organization.
Let's just start with winging it. Why can't a company that's trying to be a pharmaceutical company, even like a startup, why can't you just wing it? Why shouldn't you? What can go wrong?
I think just using the term winging it probably says enough by itself. That inherently takes on a great deal of risk. Any company or brand for that matter, when it goes about the process of quote naming itself, what it's really doing is creating one of the most important aspects of its brand or that thing that they want their customers, their internal people, their markets to relate to. And that should be thoughtful and done with a strong strategic foundation.
I'll compliment what Joe's saying. I think there is, urban legend mythology that anyone and everyone can name or develop a brand identity. And at the end of the day, it is a sophisticated science with some art. It requires creative. It requires legal. It requires linguistics. And so I do think it's up to us as branding experts to counsel clients to make sure they're delivering the most powerful platform for their value proposition.
What do you do when you get it done right? This isn't like the cobbler whose kids don't have the right shoes. We took the time here and did it right. We merged INC Research and Inventive Health over the summer, and now it's been 6 months later. So what's been going on in those 6 months?
Over the course of 6 months, which as you're alluding to in your comment, was actually an accelerated or short period of time, there is a well-defined process. Addison Whitney has been involved with over 125 corporate identity projects and has an approach that guides and takes all parties through a course of due diligence, a course of creativity, vetting with your target audiences. As Kristen's alluding to, there's extensive legal review. And then ultimately, there is executive involvement, stakeholders that ideally are with you from the beginning that ultimately have to make the decision on what they would like to push forward as the company's brand name.
And I would echo the fact that in a time of merger, specifically when you're bringing two entities together, two cultures together, you can't underestimate the value of new brand. There's terrific data that demonstrates when the brand is leveraged appropriately, it can create solidarity and unity. And we also know that 80% of mergers fail based on the fact they can't crack the culture collaboration code to deliver on the merger thesis. So once again, I think it's important for folks to really take home the fact they can't underestimate this part of the new value proposition.
So I'm hearing that a process is important and there are scientific, quote unquote, ways to do this, mathematical things that you can do and approaches that help you to get to a better answer than you would by just, as I said, winging it. What's different about any pharmaceutical company or biotech startup and a merger? Are those different or do you just do the same process?
Well, the circumstances are different. The process will help guide whatever the set of circumstances in a merged circumstance, just to state the obvious, you have two entities coming together that in some way, shape, or form existed through their own identity and their own vision before, and having to map their course forward together under a single vision. That in and of itself, while it's a simple statement, requires a tremendous amount of collaboration, a tremendous amount of shared purpose. The process will help guide companies that are experiencing a merger effectively through that very set of dynamics.
If you're doing a merger and the merger is basically making a new company that's new like any other new company, that's one thing. Is it something different when the different pieces haven't decided what they're each bringing to the table? Just walk me through that kind of collaboration process.
I think what you need to do is assume there is a merger thesis. There's a hypothesis as to what the value of those two organizations is going to be. And this is where we get into the wayward territory. If the brand identity doesn't deliver on the synergy or the strategy of that new combined organization, you're really missing an opportunity every day with every touch point to reinforce why these two organizations came together. So when you ask Jeff, we can just wing it. If you wing it and you don't select an identity, whether that be verbal or visual, that delivers on the value of the combination, you've missed the mark.
And I would just add that what you're looking for in a name, ultimately in branding, is you're looking for a touchstone. You're looking for a way to unify your people. You're looking for a way to unify the value proposition that your customers experience and what it is that you stand for in the marketplace. When two merged organizations come together, the process is just an enabler. It allows us to take the merger thesis that Kristen referred to earlier and begin to refine it, make it very precise, and ultimately put something in front of the stakeholders I mentioned before that they understand and that they can rally behind and that they see their own sense of purpose inside of.
Do I have to do that if I'm a biotech startup? What do I do if I'm a biotech startup and I'm naming a company?
I would strongly recommend yes. Look, what we're talking about is creating value. Let's just start there. And value translates for a startup company, a biotech company, into some pretty practical measures. They're looking to raise money. They are potentially looking to exit. They're potentially looking to deliver on obligations they have with investors. They're looking to create value. Brand is creating value. So a small startup who's looking to help their stakeholders understand what their vision is and what they're trying to accomplish and why that's important should start with a strong brand name and a brand identity.
I agree. And, you know, today's small startup is tomorrow's pioneer and mid-sized pharma company. No one knows if we're going to grow through organic growth, through acquisition, through co-partnering and licensing. So back to Joe's point, the stronger the value is that we're communicating on a daily basis, coupled with the product portfolio, that makes for a really rich operating environment.
That does seem quite true for us as service providers in the healthcare industry, certainly, that we have to express what our value is. So we have a new name, Syneos Health. What values do we think convey with that name?
Syneos works as it should on many different levels, and I'll let Kristen expand on this. At the top of the list is a company that is intending to function in synchronicity. This is an organization that purposefully is bringing together clinical and commercial capabilities to unlock value that they haven't been able to realize before. And value that is of paramount importance today in a transformed marketplace where organizations, pharmaceutical organizations, healthcare manufacturers are understanding that they have to run different plays and that their prior investment schemes need to change. And they need to look for ways to accelerate their innovations to marketplace. They have to look for ways to partner and collaborate differently than they have in the past.
So that's the SYN, the S-Y-N, like synchronicity or...
Yes.
I guess even Synapse or something like that.
It's quickly followed by Neos, which is also meant to communicate new. And as I was describing before, we are suggesting that partnering with Syneos enables a customer to do things in a new and different and important way that meets the challenges that they're facing in a transformed marketplace.
I think where Joe is going, and it really articulates best practice, is it delivered against the value proposition and the strategy in terms of bringing these two organizations together to power something better that could more readily accelerate the delivery of our customers' candidates to market. Number two, it's intuitive. Synchronicity, new, begins with an S, ends with an S, representing that end-to-end solution. And then number three, can it be readily adopted? Is it understandable? And then can you explain that to customers? And can employees personalize that? And I also think another thing to think about is don't underestimate employee engagement in terms of embracing the brand, internalizing, personalizing that brand. So when they're out there every day, whether they be client-facing or in-house, they too are in sync with their customers and with each other to achieve rapid productivity. And that's what we all want to be as a high performing organization.
I think if you just came out from the outside and said, INC research starts with an I, inventive health starts with an I. There's no I in Syneos. What was the thinking there?
I'll go back to, again, this works on a few different levels. I'll go back to the concept of new. The organizations felt that a confident, bold, clear step in the marketplace would be reinforced by a new identity, one that's stated with clarity and one that's consistent with the strategic foundation that Kristen was describing earlier, and one that would sound a new set of messages into the marketplace. We could have tried to work up a name that included elements of legacy companies, but the organization felt they wanted to move quickly and aggressively in a new direction.
That's absolutely accurate. And we heard it from employees. You know, there were equities there in terms of both companies having IN, both companies having a similar palette. But was it strategic? Was it legally ownable in terms of in today's legal global trademark landscape? And then lastly, did it really break us beyond legacy? Because as anyone knows, in a merger situation, legacy doesn't necessarily mean only go forward, only look to the future. And so it really was a deliberate choice to make sure we could all move forward as one.
You mentioned palette, Kristen, and we have a palette that's orange and red-ish. Does it matter that much what colors you choose at the end of the day? Does it just have to be a set of colors that can work? Or is there a specific set of colors that, you know what, a lot of people are making a mistake by choosing, I don't know, blues, and it's, we're better off having chosen oranges and reds for some other reason. Say the Southwest is a growing area of the country for healthcare. I don't know. I'm just making that up. But what do you think?
Once again, we always come back to strategy. If there's one conversation we'd want to have here with ourselves and with our customers, it's really what was the strategic intention. Joe mentioned we wanted to do something more disruptive. We wanted to look forward. With that, we also didn't want to look like our competitive set and or our customer set.
Sure.
And for all of us in biopharma, there are some typical choices that we see on a daily basis, and we didn't necessarily want to live in those greens, blues, golds, you know, what we've all seen or what the industry has grown up with. So if you think about the strategy, you think about the bringing together of two organizations, and then you think we're really looking to create something new here. We're moving toward a biopharma solution organization. This is a different type of solutions company. Picking a distinct color is not only bold, it's descriptive. For those of us who like color theory, orange is meant to be warm, passionate, action-oriented. We want to be the type of company that not just do you seek counsel from, we do. We will roll up our sleeves with you. And that's why it was a distinct and bold choice. And we've had tremendous response from our employee base.
And I know we didn't discuss it here, but red means something different, say, in the Far East than it does in the United States of America. Was that a consideration also?
Yeah, I should back up for just a moment and talk about due diligence as it feeds into the strategy that's informing ultimately what we see today. There are very specific research exercises that are undertaken to map our marketplace, our customer universe. Kristen just described mapping the color palette that surrounds our competition, all of which informs the choices that we ultimately make, including a color such as red. And for that matter, when we do research on the names themselves, we're looking for appropriateness around the world in all of our key markets, appropriateness with respect to the name, appropriateness with respect to the color, and making sure that we're not sparking any unintended consequences from the choices that we make.
Red's a very positive color in some other countries, so it sounds as though that may have helped somewhat in this diligence process.
Absolutely.
All right, Joe, I have a question. Let's say that you are a pharmaceutical company, not just a startup now, but you've been funded and you have a real board of directors and you have a real company, and your real board of directors asks you really, really, what's your real brand going to be? You have to get a brand. What do you do when you're in that position? You now have at least enough funding to be able to do it, and you're told to do it. What's the process, and what do you think about?
The process always starts in what I view as a common place that the smallest of startups to the largest of large pharmaceutical companies can start, and that is around the value proposition of their innovation. Some might describe it as the why, the purpose behind the innovation. It could be the purpose behind the company. Where we start is there. We start with those organizations through workshop activities to help them describe their value proposition, help them describe their why, their purpose for being. And we do that by exploring very practical aspects of their innovation or company, very functional aspects, problems that they solve, needs that they address in the marketplace, all the way through to emotional triggers that they address or emotional triggers that they create. And it allows a company to start to pull apart the passion that they have for whatever their innovation happens to be and begin to describe it in a singular way that translates into the marketplace as a value proposition. And that's where we start. Once we have the value proposition, we couple that to the due diligence that I was describing earlier, which basically paints the market landscape and allows you to begin to understand how to articulate the white space, where the need is that that value proposition explicitly addresses. And then we start to take them through an exercise that essentially culminates in a positioning statement or positioning-like declaration. And that grounds the group. No matter how small the company, how large the company, those core building blocks are essential. And then we usually start building out from there with brand character. We start talking in terms of personality. That translates to how it is we see our brand engaging with customers. What do we want that customer experience to be with our brand? And by the way, I'll reemphasize, internal is as important as external customers. And once we understand that personality and those characteristics, we actually take the step of crafting a brand story, which is in essence the translation of that positioning, that white space we want to occupy, into what makes it relevant to our customers, using the personality and the tone that will have been defined further upstream. That brings the company together, that brings the executive team together, and it creates momentum and direction for the balance of the process and the exercise. It ultimately culminates in a name, a color palette, brand iconography, et cetera, et cetera.
I do think it's important for any small to mid emerging company who's really looking to secure this type of expertise. There is something to be said for being solely focused within the health space. It's a complex space. It's a regulated space. As you build and develop your portfolio or your pipeline, you are going to want a flexible umbrella at the corporate brand level, as well as your lead product or candidate level that allows you to grow. So I do think when you're searching and when you're looking, you do want to ensure your partner has some category expertise to help you navigate the fact this is a regulated industry.
There's also some very practical challenges to navigate that speak to working with organizations that have the type of depth and experience that Kristen's talking about. There are over 5 million trademarks that are maintained throughout the major global markets that we play in. There's a new trademark, in fact, that's filed every 2 minutes. So to ultimately step into that very tough set of hurdles to end up with something that you can call your own requires a company that has expertise and understands where the potential pitfalls are and the challenges are. A company that understands that you have to start at the top of the funnel with a tremendous number of options and possibilities and that can help a company navigate through that funnel to the ultimate single choice.
Which customers matter?
Customers. So it's a very generic term, very broad brush. In some ways, they all matter. And I think what's sometimes missed, but is critical, is the most important customer are your internal stakeholders. This is an opportunity for you to describe to them their purpose and to help them understand how what they do every single day connects to that purpose. If you get that right, there's a strong possibility that your external audience is going to appreciate that same value proposition, and they're going to ultimately have the customer experience that you're looking for.
I think once again, when you think about the customer mix, and I think within the healthcare category, that's incredibly broad. I would affirm Joe's belief. The name has to deliver against the strategy first. What the value is that we're bringing to the marketplace. Then it needs to appeal to employees with incredible depth and emotion. So even if we picked a name we all loved, but it had nothing to do with what we were actually selling or providing to the marketplace every day, it wouldn't matter. So once again, we lead with strategy. And from there, we need to pick a name that has the rational and the emotional depth, and then that we can roll out to employees with great enthusiasm, because they're the people that need to deliver that brand message and name every day. From there, if you assume every physician's a consumer, every investor is a consumer. You put on your consumer hat when you respond to names. You know, when you first heard Google, you didn't know what it meant, but now it's a day-to-day behavior.
We now Google words. Are we going to Syneos some drugs? We're going to take them from lab bench all the way to the marketplace?
The thing is, Jeff, sometimes we get, my reference to process earlier is we could get a little wrapped up in the process for generating a brand name and branding. But when all is said and done, a brand, a name, the colors, the iconography, enables a company to express to its stakeholders its dreams. It's that straightforward. An opportunity to mobilize your internal and external stakeholders against your dream. That's what the branding exercise is. And if it's done right, that energy comes across as that brand is rolled out.
Joe Daly and Kristen Spensieri, thank you so much for joining me on what is now the first episode of the Syneos Health Podcast. Thanks for joining.
Glad you're in sync with us, Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff.
That's all for today's episode of the Syneos Health Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Stewart, from Syneos Health Consulting. If you have comments, suggestions, questions, or if you just want to talk to a particular challenge that you have at your life sciences company, you may email me at podcast@syneoshealth.com. That's syneoshealth.com. We're consultants. That's what we do.
I think just using the term winging it probably says enough by itself.